Hello, and welcome to the Writers and Illustrators of the Future podcast. This is John Goodwin, your host. This podcast is dedicated to the aspiring writer and artist, and will provide inspiration and tips from top professionals in the field. If you've been listening to this podcast or are new to it, I thank you very much. I would also appreciate if you took a moment to follow it on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcasts. You can listen to this podcast or any podcast episode at writersofthefuture.com or on uprnradio.com. Writers of the Future is one of the longest running writing competitions in the world, now celebrating four decades of providing a helping hand as initially conceived by L. Ron Hubbard. I also want to let you know that the Writers of the Future volumes are available in bookstores throughout the U.S., Canada, the U.K., South Africa, and Australia, as well as through all major online retailers. And if you're a bookseller that's listening to this, you can also get your Writers of the Future books at Ingram, which we'll be discussing momentarily. Today's guest is a consumer marketing services manager for Ingram Content Group, Davina Powell. She's a creative sales and marketing expert who is known for connecting publishers to key audiences. She has spent more than 10 years in the digital marketing space developing new resources that ensure publishers and booksellers' marketing budgets are used in a productive way. And we're also going to be talking about a new feature that Ingram provides to the bookseller. So for those of you who don't know, Ingram is the largest book distributor in the world. And if you have any intention to write and sell a book, this podcast interview is for you. Welcome, Davina.
Hello, it's lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So I guess to set the stage on this thing here, and I've used this stat multiple times in other interviews and press releases and articles, but I'm still in awe about it. There were upwards of 4 million books published in 2022, 75% being self-published. The average self-published author makes $1,000 annually, selling only 250 copies. This stat is from Self-Published Books and Author Sales Statistics by Nicholas Rizzola. So again, anybody who wants to self-publish or is interested as a distributor or as a bookseller, you need to listen and pay attention to what we're going to be talking about now. So first of all, I give you a little bit from your bio, but tell me a little bit more about yourself.
I am from Wisconsin originally. I live in Nashville, Tennessee now. I actually started my young career off in newspaper print. I am what they call an early adapter, so I learn new things quickly. I'm intrigued by new things. That led me into the digital space and being able to understand and articulate with retailers and businesses what they needed to do to take their business online and be successful in the e-commerce space. And I did that for years for a major newspaper digital company. I then became part of a team that went around the country and talked to businesses and other newspapers about digital marketing and what it was going to be like in the future. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard for people to understand what that looked like because they were so used to what the world was like in that time. And so we're in that space now where it's kind of like the future, right?
Yeah.
Things are moving and they're moving really fast. And so it's important. My career has taken me from there out of the newspaper realm, but I still am in the digital realm and have been for a long time now. And being able to curate audiences is really what I've been good at. And being able to articulate for businesses and for consumers where you need to be to talk to your audiences. And that really, I ended up at Ingram in the marketing department talking business to business. So booksellers to publishers and publishers to booksellers. Mm-hmm. And I did that at Ingram for years. And over the time, there were times where I would have conversations and realize that those publishers are talking to consumers, but they're using big dollars to talk to audiences to do broad strokes. And we realized that there should have been some more niche conversations, because if you are people say, well, I'm trying to reach everyone. When you're trying to write a book and you say, this book is good for everyone, that's great. But then in order to reach everyone, that means you've got some Super Bowl money.
Yeah.
That means you should be putting that ad on the Super Bowl. But the reality is most of us don't have an infinite amount of money to reach our audience. I mean, some of us have a lot of money. There are people in the world with a lot of money.
Yes.
So if you've got a budget and that budget, you've got a book and you've told a story, it's a beautiful time in the world because you can write your own book. You don't need someone to tell you whether your story is valued or important. You know your story is important. You wrote it, you wrote its paper, and you want to share it. Now, the key is figuring out who wants also to hear your story. Mm-hmm. There are varied ways to reach that. So over time, that's how my career has evolved. I enjoy marketing. I enjoy marketing all different types and forms. And this position and this time at Ingram has allowed me to help books, authors and books, publishers reach consumers. And because I am a book consumer, because I live in that space with large consumer people, I tell people I'm in a couple of book clubs in the world and I love to hear people reading and hear what they think about reading to find out how did they figure out they like that book or who told them. All of that ties back to what I do on a daily basis. So it makes for a good time for me.
Wow, that's great. And this is perfect because I've not really addressed this and it's becoming all the more and more relevant of an issue for an author. How do you reach? Because, I mean, that's a lot of millions of books that go out there, and that's just 1 year. And then you also got the backlist. So for a consumer to figure out what they want to be able to read, and it's fine once you've got yourself established as a name, then the game becomes to how to build your audience. But what does one do on this thing? So I think this is really important. I'm very excited that we met each other last year and that Kim said, you've got to interview Davina. I said, okay, good. And so I went through and did all this, my homework on this thing. I went, oh my gosh, what's taking me so long? So this is great. So now, what is Ingram? I mean, I've been working with Ingram I've been in publishing since 86. And I guess you were just a twinkle in the sky back then when I was in.
I was small. I was small.
Yeah, you were.
I'd have been a small human then. That's
exactly.
Fine.
At least you weren't. Maybe you weren't a twinkle yet, still, but you're a twinkle in mama's and papa's eyes. But I mean, I used to co-sponsor before. Well, now it's nothing, but before it was the Book Expo America, it was the American Bookseller Association. They had an annual convention. And there was an annual party that we co-sponsored as Bridge Publications with Ingram. And it was like, that was the party for the ABA. And I remember carrying a big wad of the drink tickets to pass out to people as one of the big hotshot sponsors. But
really popular.
Exactly. But it was huge. And they're, one of the popular bands, there was the Rock Bottom Remainders, which was Stephen King was a guitarist and he'd sing. And we had all kinds of people that played there. It was just a lot of fun. It was just a big party for the ABA each year. And so we worked a lot with them. We did a lot of sponsoring, also programs. We did a lot of the inbound and outbound marketing that Ingram had. I don't know if you still do that or not, but we did all these different things. And every now and then we'd fly somebody in to caper the salespeople there because happy salespeople equals happy sales. So we, Judy Norton, the girl from the Waltons, she would parachute. She'd fly in and she'd parachute down and then bring a bunch of donuts and coffee to the sellers and stuff. It was crazy. We were the West Coast publisher with the big bestsellers. That's when we were, the big title then was on the nonfiction was Dianetics. And on the fiction side, we had Battlefield Earth and Mission Earth. So we had lots of working together there with Ingram. And we got Mission Earth coming up pretty soon too. So we're looking forward to that relationship picking up again. But anyway, so explain a little bit about what Ingram is and what makes it so special as a distributor.
Ingram is special because, as you said, I admit we're a powerhouse. Like there are lots of pieces to Ingram.
Yeah.
But as a distributor, you want to be able to get your book in a lot of places. And so Ingram allows you to do that as a one-stop shop. So we can help you make sure that when you have your EAN and you walk into a bookstore, you walk into a smaller bookstore that you've got access to being able to buy. People are able to access and buy that book. And we have the ability now for publishers and booksellers to order a book. So like, there's not a thing like, well, I don't have it anymore. We have the ability and the grace to be able to say, hey, you want this book? Yeah, we can get it shipped to you by this time, or we can get it to you.
Yes, so I talked about with Dion, the Spark, that's the Ingram Spark.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And so being that's one of the things that for authors is really important, because this isn't a time where you have to hope someone helps you. You have the ability to market your book. I do want to say that it's important. I might be getting ahead of myself, but it's important for authors to know that they pay, just like you played a significant role in deciding that you had a story to tell, you had some communication, mm-hmm. you had some information you wanted to communicate. You also have to take that lead in deciding what that marketing looks like. I think that we see so many different stories about, oh, I was on TikTok and I sold a million books, or what these different stories. All of those things are just like any other time. You've got to play a part in your story, mm-hmm. and getting your story out there. And so I'm here to talk and share with you the marketing pieces that Ingram has. We're going to do that. But I want to be able to communicate that you are an author, but that being an independent author and writing your book, that also means that made you a business person. That also makes you a marketing person. You have to own up to those things. If you don't want to own up to those things, you do have to acknowledge that you're going to have to pay someone, some expert, to do that for you. But the reality is, as I said, most of us are not having that huge budget to be able to hand that over. So if you are having to own your own responsibility, that means you are going to need to sell your book. You're going to have a strategy for that. That means that you are going to have to be on social media, whether you want to or not. A lot of those books, a lot of the brand management about your story. I talked to an author recently, and I hear lots of author stories about what their book is about. And her story was so unique. It's something I'd never heard before. The storyline that she'd written for this book. And the reality is, however great that is, she's going to have to build a plan, because her storyline involved some uncomfortable truths about life. And so she's like, every time I write and I try to put in the content of what my book is about, Google shuts it down, because part of her book is about is about suicide and things of that nature. And so the reality is, she's needed some help figuring out what words to use to get her book out. But she's got to do some untraditional ways to get the story out. And you may have to figure out where your audience is, who is interested in the storyline, who likes to read this, who, when you are going online, who wrote a book similar to this, and what does that audience look like? Do I have to be in some non-traditional social medias that people don't talk about often to build some of that audience and conversation? So we've got to be mindful that it's not like, sometimes people are like, so if I give you this money, is this magic thing going to happen tomorrow? Marketing doesn't necessarily work
right,
that way.
Right. Okay, good. Now this is, I got keep to my script here, because all of a sudden I just went, all these different.
And I can do this all day. So also remember, I can talk and jibber jabber with you all day.
Okay, good. All right. So I guess the thing about Ingram is that it's big enough that you can actually take the time, because for the longest time, Ingram was the distributor, and the classic distributors, publishers would go to you and they try to convince you that these books are going to sell. So you'd stock those books, and then booksellers would see that booksellers like working with a single distributor, because it's one invoice. They can order all their books they want to and just pay one invoice. And then Ingram takes care of all the billing and collections and all that
stuff. They can go in our system. They can look at lists. They can decide what books they should buy based on our recommendations. All of that is in there. True.
Exactly. So now we've taken to a new direction here with a consumer, an author who, I call him a consumer, but now he's being turned into a new segment of Ingram's, I guess, service line, where you service to the booksellers, but now you also service to authors to be able to reach consumers. So if an author who has a book and then he wants to be able to set up a marketing program, then he contacts your program, the Ingram ID, and then that's where they're able to set up. So we're going to get into that, but that's kind of like why someone who's an author is going to be very interested in this, because this gives you an ability to target, and we're going to get to this part here. I'm fascinated with how you're able to actually really, really zoom in and drill down to the exact audience that that person is trying to reach, you know, because you on that pictograph that I saw there on that one link that I went through, it was amazing that the verified reader audiences, and that's going to be towards the end of what we're going to do here, because that's like the cherry on the top of the whipped cream, on top of the chocolate sauce, on top of the three flavors of ice cream and everything below that. And then there's this special brownie underneath that you're going to find when you dig in. So what is the, you know, why has Ingram moved into the consumer marketing arena?
Well, it's difficult to say that we have moved into it. The reality is, with Ingram, we have a strong voice in the market, in the book market. And so we started some brands to bring consumers along on the journey. And we have six major brands, their websites and newsletters. So Little Infinite, Book Genie is a newer one. Page and Pairing is a newsletter that we do. We have a website called Shelf Savvy. So what I want to kind of tell you guys about that specifically is that when we are looking, we have over 3.5 million subscribers based on these websites, right, and these newsletters. We've got over 400 million impressions are based in our social media. So people are coming. We've got over 120,000 followers in our social media. Our website audience has 21 million page views. We've delivered about over 70 million deliveries of emails. So we have an audience, and the audiences are really based on the content that we're putting out. We have the beauty of actually taking our, We were able to take the content that we're putting, and we're making sure that our consumers get to know what books are they're interested in. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. I want to start with Bookfinity. Bookfinity is one of our websites. You can go to bookfinity.com. You answer a series of questions, and it will give you what we call a reader type. It's like a book personality. You're going to answer questions. It's going to say, oh, based on your answers, you like these types of books. And then you come back to that website. That website will continually send you information about the books that you are interested in. So you'll get like one or two series of book personalities or reader types, and it'll keep giving you things that you should read or content that you're interested in. That is us serving up to, because we do have a lot of information, mm-hmm, about books and information, it's us just taking it out and sending it to the readers. And so those readers spend time at our various websites. So that's just one. Bookfinity is just one website. We've got another one. Bookfinity is one website. But we also have Little Infinite. Little Infinite started off as a newsletter specifically about poetry. It's become an entire lifestyle brand with people that are putting in content, their poems, reading about poems, poetry, books. They're engaged. It's really an active and engaged community. So over time, we have these different communities, mm-hmm, and people that are engaging with books. And so we're able to say, okay, we feel good about providing them this content. This is what we're doing for them. And in turn, we're able to figure out, okay, they like this, they don't like this. This is what they're looking for. This is more information that they've asked us for. And because they've given us permission to do that and understand how they're spending their time on our websites, that gives us first party data about what they're doing. And then figuring out how to mirror that in other places to make sure that we're expanding those audiences, sharing that with our publishers and our authors. We want to be able to bring the communities together. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do you any good to spend $7,500 to talk to people who are interested in dogs if you have a book about grief. So being able to be mindful to find an audience that's interested, that is looking to talk about grief when you have this book, versus say, oh, just as I think sometimes when people lose their dogs, they're grieving. Okay, broad stroke, right? So once again, you're spending money over here when we probably needed to narrow it down if you've got a book about grief. And so these are things that we try to get people that are in advertising or trying advertising to understand. We've got a different way of looking at this, audience-based. And sometimes people want us to be a little more granular than we have available. So they said, okay, my book is about poodles who jog with their owners. Okay, we don't have an audience that detailed, right? But the reality is being able to own the audiences, understand what they're looking for, and bring those two things together. So when people are advertising with us, you can decide, our authors can decide. One of the authors asked, she's like, well, you've got them buying your books. I said, no. The beauty of this, authors can decide when they buy advertising from us, they get to decide where the people are buying the books from. That link can be your favorite indie bookstore. That link can be your personal site that you're selling your books on. That link could be a Target.com link you want to use. That's completely up to you. And we don't limit that for you. You decide where those books are being sold from.
Do you ever use the A word?
We don't use the A word often. You can use the A word. You don't have a problem with you using the A word. Okay. I probably won't use the A word here in this conversation. But yes, you can also use that if that's what you would like. If that is your claim to fame, that too could be helpful.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know, A refers to Amazon.
It does. Okay. It does.
One thing that I don't know how much people really understand when you talked about people just want to like splatter into, it's something for everybody. Just how silly that is when you take a look at like the numbers, because people don't really think in terms of magnitudes. And so the number of, like we're saying right now, there's 4 million books published in 2022. So that's just published, let alone the number of readers. So say if you have 100 million readers and say, you know, well, if I'm only going to go for 1%, that's hardly worth it. But if you do the math on that, if you sold 1% of 100 million, so that's 1 million books. That's 1 million people that you're marketing to. And that's a lot of book sales, considering like that first datum that I read at the beginning, that the average person will only sell, 250 copies of their book. So you're talking about only 1% of the market. If it's, and I know it's more than 100 million, but if you just have that, that's a lot of books. So you got to look at and just confront the fact that there's nothing wrong with being a big fish in a small fishbowl. That's totally fine. You're going to be very wealthy, very well off being like that. And so that's why I liked when I saw that drill down of yours on the website, that it was just like, wow, that makes a lot of sense, because people throw away so much money trying to build an audience to then market to, and you can have a big runway, but you've already taken care of that, and you can now provide them, here's the first drill down, or maybe two or three drill downs. If you don't have the poodles like the jog, you have dogs, maybe you have poodles, but it doesn't go beyond that. So then you can build it from there. But anyway, so this
I think also I want to jump in and say that it's the difference between you deciding that you have a book and you want everyone to know about your book, then taking your book and standing outside a bookstore.
Yeah.
Right. And so You could talk about this book all day and people could be really, really like that, but you really need engagement. So when we start talking about emails and people say, oh, well, I want to send it to as many people as possible. You don't. You want to send it to as many readers, people who buy books, not people. I like to use the idea that people are, when you're going to the internet and you're actively looking for something, are they looking for the thing or the book about that thing? We've got to be mindful that you're looking for a particular person that's going to buy a book. It's a very different person that says, I'm going to go and wait for that book to be available in the library.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when we were, again, going back with Dianetics and with Battlefield Earth, Mission Earth, and the other titles that because we publish all the Owen Hubbard books, we'd market, market, market. And we did a lot to market back then. And there's a definite percentage of people that just automatically go to the library. You know, mm-hmm. they just say, I'm going to go to the library. I got several people here at the office because this week I didn't have to, but normally because I do a podcast a week. And so I'm reading a book a week. And so that's a fair amount of reading I have to do to prepare. And when I go to book conferences, like where I met with Dion, I had 5 books to read before that weekend, you know? Yeah. It's like, as an author, you're going to have people that will be very engaged with what you got, but they're going to want to go to the library too. So that's something that we've got Ingram. You also service libraries. It's not just, you know, you do it for all of these, you know, any place that you can get a book, you can go to Ingram and know that Ingram's going to be a service line for that. So, all right. So with that said, so I just want to make sure that people understood that there's everything right about trying to target down. And even if you drill down, yeah, but it's only 1%. That's a huge market. If you can capture that, you're going to be very, very successful, and you can quit your day job if you're able to really capture that much of a book market. So you've got this, we're going to break this down, but first of all, just an overview of what Ingram ID is.
Okay, so what I want you to know about Ingram ID, it is an easy to use platform that allows publishers to go in and they can book their own ads.
Okay.
So they can log in and they're going to advertise to verified readers. And so that means they're going to be able to do ads on Facebook and Google, and then also book ads on our reader brands for access. We use demographics, psychographics, and online behaviors that I was talking to you before about our different websites, and then it'll connect you to millions of readers. And so in the Ingram ID world, we have 60 now unique audience segments. And so you can go in and choose audience segments that you believe would be interested in your title. And you get to go in and you do a start, you tell it when you want to start, you tell it when to stop. We do have some minimums there just to make sure that you're getting the bang for your buck.
Right.
But you can go in, you do a start and you do a stop. It will tell you then how many impressions and how many clicks you can expect in that time frame. And then you decide, oh, I would like this to run 30 days. I'd like this to run 45 days. And then you go in, you log in, and you pay for it. The ad will be set up. You actually set up the ad. It'll walk you through the setup for it. And then it tells you when it's going to start. You get a report. You get a live reporting. As once it launches, you can watch it in real time, or you can wait. Many people wait, and then you can go and log your report after it's over. But it's a real live platform designed for publishers and authors to have control over what they put out in the world. And they don't need me to be at work at, 6 o'clock on a Thursday to get it done, that you can set that up for yourself. That's about a 3-day lead time, but it is designed with over 60 audiences for you to go in and specifically choose. You can do email ads. You can do actual emails based. Some of the audiences have the ability for you to book and schedule and launch emails. But most of it is connected to our social media platforms.
I get it. Yeah, because I saw on the link that I went through it as I was studying this thing here from J.T. Ellison, New York Times bestselling author. I'm finding these ads quite helpful. The days they cut off, sales drop by half. They are working well for me. So that's really good. And I also saw, I just happened to notice too, you're a very well-known publishing house. This is an invaluable service for niche publishers who need to reach the right reader to make advertising work. Thank you to the Ingram ID team for creating a workable advertising vehicle for us. Galaxy Press. Yay!
Yeah.
That's my publishing house there. So you mentioned publishers and authors. So I just want to address, because we're going to have a lot more authors reading this or listening to this than publishers. So unless you're an indie publisher, because a lot of authors I've seen have gone to creating their own publishing house to be able to handle distribution. So this also is a viable way for them to be able to make that breakout as they're starting out. Because I've seen a lot of these people, they're definitely overworked and underpaid, and until they're up and running. So to that, those people too, who are authors that created their own publishing house to be able to get their books out there, so it's a pretty simple thing here to be able to get in and use this Ingram ID. But I guess, and so it's an easy way to promote your book. And so you said exclusive audiences. So let's discuss that a bit more about, because you say it says in here, our database of book lovers connects you to millions of readers in over 50 plus genres.
Yes. So the Inkram ID database is based on what we call verified readers. So these are people that have done the following things in the last 190 days. That means they have read a book within the specific genre that you are looking for. That means they've made lists, like online listicles, about what they're going to read next. That means they are browsing preview content that's come out to them. They may have entered a giveaway. They may have bought a book. They may have opened an email about a new release related to that same genre. They would have had to do multiple of these things on this list for us to be defining them as a verified reader. And so that's where we define in the platform how those people come to be. Mm-hmm. And so people ask me, well, why don't I just go to Google myself? You can definitely do that. And that we're not telling you that that's not an option. What we're saying is if you have an audience, if you have one of these genres, or you want one of the audiences that we are offering, what we're telling you is that these people, as related to this, have been vetted as not just people who are interested in books, which is the way they are broad stroked on social media. We have now verified and nailed them down as actual verified readers.
Got it. People
that buy books and buy content.
Got it. So now I'm an author. I've been working for a while building up my own social media. So now I've got people that are following me. I've been building my lists and I'm doing my due diligence, trying to make it go. So I'm up to, like, I don't know, 15, 20,000. No, that's not social media. I'm up to like 3,000, 4,000 names that follow me on my mailing list. Mm-hmm. So how would working with your program tie in with what I'm doing to be able to enhance it and act as a supercharger or something like that? Does that work like that?
Yeah. I mean, you have an audience, you build an audience, they know who you are, you're talking to them on a regular basis. Your goal here is to expand that audience mm-hmm. to people who like the same things as those people are, so that you are finding and you're expanding your audience. What we're doing is saying that we've got all these people over here, we've got these millions of people, and then this particular group of people inside of our book family, they like this type of content. So we suggest that you share that with them when they're on social media.
Got it. Because one thing that, because I've done a lot with social media myself, so like I'm building it, I get people that sign up to the newsletter, and then I'd go into like Facebook and create lookalike pages. But the mm-hmm. problem with lookalike, the plus with lookalike is that they're lookalike. But the problem is they're not, like you're saying, they're not necessarily readers of what you've got. They're not engaged with you yet. They're possible. They're potentials, So mm-hmm. it's better than just shooting blind into the dark. But nevertheless, they're not necessarily verified, having gone through the filter and the funnel to get down to like, these are actual readers of what you've got.
I'll give you an example. Betty White, the actress. Betty White, the actress, did a lot of different things. But when she passed on, people were Googling Betty White. So if you had a memoir of Betty White, were you actively looking for everyone? No, because some people were Googling to find her on the Golden Girls. Some of them were Googling to watch her in some thing that she did in the 50s and 60s. Those are wasted dollars for you to offer up a memoir of people who don't read books.
Right.
Unless you have lots of money and you want to market and do a longer term, I really did love her, I should probably buy this book. That takes more visibility and constant conversation in a marketing world to change someone's mind. You have to stay in the pocket.
Yeah.
You got to stay there with people who are interested in reading memoirs. And so you have a better chance of a person like me who reads memoirs to introduce me to a new memoir than to introduce me to a broad subject that I've Googled, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you want to find people who read memoirs versus trying to serve people who are interested in Betty White. And you would think that that's not true. You think, oh no, there's a memoir. I want everyone to see this, but you don't have everyone budget. You have enough budget to introduce yourself to people who like Betty White and read memoirs. Or if you don't know those people, you would go and you'd say, okay, I'd like to market this in the memoir section.
Got it.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And so it's hard to get people to understand, because marketing, we all understand it on a large level, but we just don't have that budget. And until we get the large budget, we've got to be mindful about what budget we do have and how to maximize what we do have.
Yeah. I do a lot of media interviews, and I've long since gone past the point of accepting the fact that when I talk about, I read, I don't watch. And so I'm a book person. So when I talk about a very popular story, I can talk about Dune. I can talk about Battlefield Earth. I can talk about Ender's Game. And someone said, oh yeah, I love that movie. Or I didn't like that movie. I said, no, I'm talking about the book. Oh, well, yeah, I watched the movie, or I watched the TV series. And they're not a book reading public. They just don't read books. So I haven't read a book in years. So as much as we're going to be engaged talking about that storyline, they're talking about what was in the movie or the TV show, and I'm talking about what was the book. And sometimes for a really broad radio show, that's fine there, because at least you can engage in the people that read books listening to the radio show, go, okay, that sounds pretty good. But when you're talking about spending dollars to go and reach a target audience, the guys that only watch movies or TV and don't read books are not your audience. I'm sorry, no matter what you like to think, no, I'm gonna make them a believer. No, you're not. If they haven't read in 20 years, 30 years, no, I haven't read a book since high school when I had to read a book. You know, they're not going to read your book.
Different audience.
It's a different audience.
And all the things can be true. I tell people two things can be true. They could really, really like your subject matter. That doesn't make them a reader.
Right.
It just doesn't. Very few people don't, like you said, very few people, if you hear someone say, oh, I haven't read in 20 years, most those people are not now going to sit down and read a book. That's a different audience of people.
Yeah.
But you could take a person who doesn't go to the movies often and then make a movie about a book we love, and now you have a Harry Potter movie fan.
Right.
But those things are not interchangeable.
Exactly. They're mutually exclusive.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's one thing that people need to, you know, there's not safety in numbers. In terms of the marketing thing, like, you know, numbers, if I reach a billion people, you know, if I throw enough dirty underwear against the wall, something's going to stick. No, it doesn't work like that.
Oh, that numbers quote is really good. That's true.
Yeah.
There's not safety in numbers in that case.
Yeah, no, there isn't.
You're going to hear me say that again. I like it.
Yeah. You made a comment earlier that there's no marketing expertise required. So let's take it from the level of zero marketing expertise to considerable marketing expertise. How can this Ingram ID work for an author?
So one thing, so I wanted you to know that there's levels to this. So Ingram ID was really built so people could log in, find audience, market to audiences, and we walk you through it. So if you don't know what you're doing when you log in, there'll be steps to walk you through. There's little video vignettes that'll show you how to click the button. You might even see my face at some point explaining something to you if you go farther enough down in the
Do I win content. Something when I do?
No.
Okay.
It's just not that impressive.
Okay.
I'm slightly charming, not enough to get y'all nothing else.
All right. Okay, good.
But so Ingram ID is just, it's built for you to be able to walk yourself through it. If you've got questions about, oh, how do I choose my audience? There's articles and content in there. You can go all the way down the rabbit hole to get yourself all the way through what you need. We also have premium services. Those they have a bigger budget. They are emails. They are banner ads. They're content inside of our platform, of those websites that I shared with you. They require, those are not self-serve. Those require an advertising plan curated by myself or one of my teammates. So it's a little different.
Yeah.
It requires a bigger budget. It requires a little more conversation about what you need in the audiences as related to who we're offering in our family of brands. But when we talk about Ingram ID, it really is something that you can go in. We are, it's a platform, it's a digital platform, a technical platform. So it's evolving every time. So if for for some reason you're like, oh, I did that 2 years ago, I promise you, come look at it again. You will see we've taken feedback from people like Galaxy and some of our other publishers that are like, I love it because the small guys, and when I say small guys, I mean our authors and then the big five, everyone's weighed in. And so there are things that we've done to make sure that our authors have access. This is not a thing where you're like, well, this only works great for. No, this is created so it works well for books, right, for book audiences. And so you have access to it. It does require you to have some money. I'm not going to tell you it doesn't, but we're going to tell you how to start. So in our Ingram ID, we're going to tell you you've got to run at least 7 days. That's really based on weeks and months in our beta test of realizing that if you don't put a certain amount of money and a certain amount of time in, you won't get the results you're looking for. So if you're like, oh, I only have $75, this isn't gonna hit the bucket for you.
Right.
So you'll see that when you're in there, there's some parameters set up to at least get you moving, to get your book seen.
Got it. So then, but if I'm nowhere as a marketer, mm-hmm, versus someone who's like, oh, because sometimes a little bit of knowledge is dangerous, so you got some people that the self-prescribed experts are sometimes, maybe they're more hassle than they're worth. But if a person thinks they know everything they need to know about marketing, then obviously they're not going to be responding to this podcast. But for someone who's, they've heard they need to be visible on the social if you're going to have yourself seen. So again, because when I've talked to a lot of people, they're so intimidated by social media. Mm-hmm. And right now it's the social media platform is so divisive. There's so much hate that people get in there that some people just kind of like, I don't want to get into that. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the safeguards that someone can have? Because what I do with Writers of the Future, I don't go into politics and I don't go into religion. I just stay clear of that. Mm-hmm. And obviously Rise of Future is PG, but I don't get into like any, someone who gets on a soapbox and wants to promote any particular, mindset on that. I don't get into that. It's just strictly about writing and authors and stuff. But what can you say also if it comes up, like advice to writers, authors, when they're promoting on your stuff, is it going to have result in potential pushback to them or things they're going to have to deal with that they feel uncomfortable with, or how does that fit in?
So what you want to know is we are under the same rules and regulations that they have on social media. So if your book has been banned, or for some reason you have a hard time getting it live in social media platforms, it'll be the same for us. We're not skirting around any of the things. So you won't even see in our ad platform, you won't even see the opportunity to do political books.
Right.
It's not an option because it's simply just too difficult to get the books approved. They're not using complete humans on the whole testing. So when they start scaling your book and it says certain things, then they just automatically get rid of it. And we don't really have a way to work around that completely to get your books live. So what I would say is I really appreciate our platform because you'll know that relatively quickly if you put in content and it's not going to be approved, you'll get a notice back that it's not going to be approved. And 9 times out of 10, maybe 8, probably be honest, we'll know from the platform why they won't approve it.
I get it.
But I would say that when you are dealing with social media platforms, read their rules and regulations. I've found there are books that I still remember early on in my beta test. There's a really interesting murder mystery book, but the art on the front of it has a handgun. And it's just part of the art design. We could not get that book approved until we changed the cover art, right? So that's something that we learned, that no matter what we explain to them, oh, it's a mystery book and it's about a missing gun. The platforms don't care. They own it. They get to decide. Being mindful of what the actual rules are, we put some parameters in place, some things in our platform to help you learn through that. But for the most part, we've made sure that our books are getting approved.
Yeah. And then that part of the thing you said earlier on as well was the, if it's a certain sensitive subject and it's a legitimate request that you can work out, you can do workarounds, like I said, changing the cover art or what do on sensitive subject, which you know are going to be blocked by, rightfully so, by platforms, you know, because it gets, you know, it's a very sensitive subject, you know, working with you on how, what do I do? That is something that you do offer.
I mean, we can tell you, we can help you tell you things that if you're getting denied, we can't like fix it for you, but we probably can tell you if you change your cover art, you know, it's a little salacious. So you have a better chance if you change your cover art or there was a history book and the tagline for the history book had a salacious word in it that they would deem political. I said, you probably have to change your tagline. And the author's like, I don't want to change my tagline. You don't have to, but if you want to use their platform, you've got to play by their rules.
Yeah. And that's just, that's the author's decision when he wants to do that. But the point of bringing this up is that there is a solution.
Yeah.
It's not a dead end. You're not stuck. It's just like, you got to be willing to know the rules and play by the rules if you want to be able to play in that particular sandbox. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, we do have some other premium advertising that would allow us to take your, like, let's say your book isn't going to make it because it's, you know, you don't want to change the art, but it's a mystery, it's a thriller. We've got audiences, we have email audiences that we could send your book out through for Ingram ID and a premium platform. We've got themed seasonal gift guides that we're sending out now that are a little bit more affordable for some of the authors that may help them. That'll help them get their titles out. We don't have a lot of spaces left in them for the rest of the year, but if they're interested and we have a Mother's Day gift guide or we have a Father's Day and you've got a book that you think should be seen in that time, we have some things that we can, when I say work around, some other offerings that may be able to put those titles in.
Got it. Now that just brings up another point too, which we use as a publisher, we take advantage of is seasonal book buyers. So you've got, you have the summer reading, so that's a huge thing for mass market paperbacks, or they don't use those anymore. But for the books, I guess mostly it's trade paperbacks these days rather than mass market. But you've got the summer buy, you got right now, you've got on May 4th, that's a huge Star Wars, because that's Star Wars Day. So there's going to be, I know there's a big promotion that's happening in that for the moviegoers. It was just announced that whatever station was doing something on 20 hours of Star Wars movies, just back to back.
Oh, they're going to do them back to back?
Yeah.
Oh, that's I love when they do that.
Yeah. So they've got that happening. And then when you come to, like I said, Father's Day, Father's Day is one of the biggest book selling times of the year because everyone wants to give their dad a book or a lot of people want to give their dad a book. So we sold a lot of books, especially science fiction and books because of that's a big audience for science fiction. But you got Christmas. And so is that something also that you account for, that you provide for? Mm-hmm. Someone says, okay, look, I got this book on topic A. Okay, well then that's, you know, you want to make sure you really take advantage of event A or of calendar date A.
That's definitely more of something that we do for our premium services when we build their quarterly plans. That's a little bit more, that's definitely part of our premium offerings. We don't tend to do that for the ID platform. But I will say that there are things that we're going to tell everybody. So like right now, if you were to talk to one of us about quarter four of this year, we would tell you right now, be mindful that it is election season. So ad prices are going to go up. People are going to be, by the time September, October, November come, people are going to be inundated with emails and phone calls. So it'll be difficult to get your story out. So you've got to be mindful about how you're going to market and make sure that you're not competing in those same spaces so that you can get an actual share of voice.
Good. That's a good thing to have. And there's so much money going in right now into everybody. It's like, it's amazing the number of ways I'm being reached by different candidates for why I should vote for them. All right. So we've got that we're marketing with ease, and this is, you don't have to have marketing expertise in order to be able to participate in this. And that I really like that the high note of what we're talking about so far is that you've really, you know, weeded out non-book lovers, and the amount of money that is wasted putting your book in front of non-readers is quite disturbing. If you actually look and see how much of your budget is going to people that are just not going to buy a book, no matter how much it's, well, I'll wait till the movie comes out. You know, that's, so now I, one thing, do you work with audiobooks as well as books, print books?
I do not.
Okay.
Because the purchase link has to be usable.
Got it. Okay, good. So I just want to make sure we got that. Now it's on what it says on this link that I studied here. It says spend your budget efficiently. Ad campaigns start at just $15 a day for a 7-day ad campaign. So you've already established the fact it's, you've got to be in it for at least 7 days for it to give it even a chance to do something. So what do I get if I'm spending that $105 to start off with?
Well, that's the thing. You've got to get in the platform, choose your audiences, because the other thing to remember is these ad prices change. They fluctuate.
Sure.
So in the platform, you get to decide, you know, it's going to run at least 7 days. I'm going to tell you that you should run at least 14, and then you can decide how much money you're willing to spend. That's like the bottom of the threshold, how much money you're willing to spend. And it will tell you what that result, what we're guaranteeing those results to look like when you do it.
Got it. All right. So then, yeah, I know that it's easier to see that, okay, I'm only spending $10. You just keep on doing your social media budget and just keep on doing it. So you don't really see how fast it adds up as compared to having a dedicated campaign, which we're talking about here with Ingram. You're actually doing a book campaign. So,
and we have people that do both. So some people say, okay, I'm going to commit this much money in 45 days to this, and then I'm going to give you guys this much money to run between this and this. Tell me where I should be putting my dollars as related to Ingram's family of brands.
Good. Yeah. So that's something I think that if, you know, I don't call you, say, okay, good, I got this budget. And you say, okay, good. You know, scooping it all in, say, okay, this is Ingram. So yeah, I wouldn't recommend anything else. So you actually will help someone decide if they got this budget, how to spread it. So it's not just like everything goes to Ingram. It's like Ingram is a piece of the pie. A pie has several slices in it, not just, you don't need a pie. Just, well, maybe some people do, but I don't. So that's good to know that you're actually there that can help coach them along of different things they can do, especially if a person doesn't have expertise, you know. And the reason why I'm doing this, and because I don't do a whole lot of this type of an interview where it sounds like it's a infomercial, what I'm doing here is like, I've worked with Ingram long enough and know that Ingram has long since passed that point of reputation that you wouldn't continue to grow as you are as a corporation if there wasn't integrity in the actual corporation itself. So I can tell people, look, work with Ingram because you've passed that test of being able to prove that you're actually with the bookseller, with the author, with, you know, with the industry, just like Writers of the Future 40 years now. It's like at the beginning, nobody would have thought no contest will last 40 years, especially something where it's free to enter, open to amateurs, you know, it's in that Mr. Hubbard has continues to fund that. And we now have entries from over 175 countries, winners from 50 countries. And we still, you know, work with Ingram to sell each book. We've been doing it since day one. And so I've got, you know, just as Writers of the Future has got that past that point of being challenged, is like, okay, what's the hidden agenda here? It's not. It's just Mr. Hubbard wanted to create something, you know, for the writer and the artist to be able to expand. And John Ingram, is that he's the founder? Okay, that John Ingram, I mean, he had a vision, and that vision has continued to grow, and it hasn't been scuttled like so many of the other distributors in the industry and so many other booksellers in the industry. It's just, it continues to grow and expand. So there's a lot to be said for, you know, the integrity of Ingram. That's why I wanted to do this, that people listening, here's some place you can actually go that in essence can have your back as an author to help you really make it.
I think I want to add to that my time at Ingram, my experience with Ingram will tell you that we believe in our leader, Mr. Morin, Sean Morin, one of the principles that we actually work through are trying new things and failing fast. So if we are doing something and it's not working for our customers, it's not working for Ingram, you will see us pivot. The goal here is to be successful for you, to make sure you're selling books. What we do is we sell books. So if it's not moving the needle for you and it's not moving the needle for us, we won't continue to do it. So when you see one of the beauties of consumer marketing, one, we are relatively still new here, right? When did Ingram start talking directly to consumers? But the beauty is to be able to tell consumers, one, where they can buy books, what the very types of books there are, and being mindful that we're going to continue to evolve our services to make sure they're successful for our authors and our publishers.
Got it. So the last thing we haven't really talked about is your reporting. So like a person, you know, you do this program, so like, how do I know that it's successful or not successful? So what are the reporting features of Ingram ID?
Ingram ID has an automated reporting platform. It's dynamic. So once your ad starts, you will see the reporting start to change and based on the clicks and impressions. That report is ever evolving. It's actually being updated. I'm really excited about what it looks like. And so there's a report right in the platform. When you log in, you can click your little link. It'll show you the ads that are running. You have access to your previous ad reports and your current ad reports. If you do an advertising strategy campaign with us, over time, we're going to build out a reporting based on your emails and your banner, tell you what those clicks and what those things look like. Now, before we start that ad, we're going to talk about, because you get to decide where those links go to, we need to talk about, like, when you decide that you're going to use a link, what are you measuring on the back end of your link? Because when you get done, if you're sending this ad here and you're like, well, how many books did I sell? I'd be like, no, you tell me how many books did you sell. I can tell you how many audience members came to you, how many people clicked here, how many people have been here. Now you tell me what your website or your landing page or your platform is telling you how many books were sold. And so I've got time and time again where with authors, I can see there was a gentleman who called me and he's like, I just believe there's something broken here. And I said, tell me why you think it's broken. He said, I got a huge amount of people coming to this to my landing page, but only a few people bought this book. And when you looked, he had a massive viewing. Well, when I went to look at the book, the ad that he created and the little tagline was really interesting. And the cover of his book was really interesting. And it made you think it was a joke, so you would click it. So he brought all that audience, but they weren't actually there to buy his book. They were just curious about his ad.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So it was kind of built like clickbait. So he did have a lot of traffic. I went to look. It was honestly there, but it wasn't exactly who he was looking for. I've also had authors have a really good story, but also a terrible cover. So covers are important in the marketing world. So the reporting is there on all of our platforms.
Okay, great. So as we come to the close of this interview, so where does somebody go? What's the actual link that they should go to find out about the Ingram ID?
IngramID.com. IngramID.com.
That was pretty easy. And then I'll also put it into the description of this podcast so people can see it. So
I will make sure that I send you a link. We'll after the silver, I'll shoot you a great link so that you guys can I want you to know that you can go into Ingram ID and register. It doesn't cost you any money to go in and dance around in there to see how it works. And you can build your entire ad and then figure out if you want to do it when it's time to pay. You can go and build an entire ad and figure out how easy it is for you. And I'll make sure that Mr. Goodwin gets that free registration link.
There we go. Thank you very much, Davina.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. And thank you for listening. Subscribe to the Writers of the Future podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We've also been syndicated on the United Public Radio Network, where you can find these podcasts as well. Go to uprnradio.com. Writers of the Future series can be purchased wherever books are sold in the U.S., Canada, the U.K., Australia, and South Africa, and available everywhere via amazon.com. And again, for you booksellers listening, through Ingram as well. We are especially appreciative of our sponsor, Carnation, for supporting this podcast. Carnation was introduced in 1899, and 2024 marks its 125th birthday. So Carnation has been making delicious milk products for 1.25 centuries and is still going strong. If that doesn't show consumer support, I don't know what does. Writers and Illustrators of the Future are contests created by L. Ron Hubbard to provide a means for the aspiring writer and artist to be seen and acknowledged for four decades. It is free to enter and open to amateur short story writers and artists of science fiction or fantasy. Again, thank you very much, Davina.
Thank you.